You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. We're joined on the phone now by Sonia Bonnet, who lives in Detroit. She's been hit with property tax bills adding up to $6,000. Sonia, thanks for talking with us. How is it that you ended up with that amount of property tax debt?
I acquired my home in 2012 through land contract through some pretty shady buyers. Long story short, the home was quick deeded to me because I got a letter in the mail stating that I owed $6,000 in taxes. I was buying the home through land contract. The taxes were included in my payments. These people never paid a dime in taxes. So after being quick deeded, the taxes were mine to pay. And because of that, I was not eligible for any payment plans or anything of that nature.
Were you eligible for a poverty tax waiver?
I have no idea, because no one ever said poverty tax waiver or exemption to me at all.
Yeah, that's a problem we hear a lot, that people just aren't made aware of that option. I'm wondering, if you've got income tax records and you can get together with Wayne County and the City of Detroit, are they even interested in talking about retroactively adjusting for this?
No, I don't think they are. I can't say positively what they're interested in doing. I can say that upon this happening to me, I went through every avenue I possibly could. The big gatherings at the Cobalt Hall. I went through Wayne County Housing Coalition, who do great work with people. And I was not able to be helped. So I can't say what Wayne County would do personally. But no, I don't think that if I gathered everything and said, hey, you know, help me, they're going to say, oh, sure, now we will. No.
I'm wondering, with property values in most of Detroit down during most of the last decades, how did your tax bill end up being that high in the first place?
Illegal assessments.
And what do you mean by that? Why do you think they're illegal?
Well, I don't think they're illegal. I know they're illegal. Between the years of 2009 and 2015, the property in Wayne County were illegally assessed. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, not right now, so I won't quote, so I won't be misquoting. But that's why they're so high. And they shouldn't be, because the property value is definitely not anywhere near what a home would require $6,000 in taxes, if you've seen where I live or in my neighbors or, you know, on the other side of town, anywhere in the Detroit area, the urban Detroit area. It's ridiculous. And they were illegally assessed.
Sonia, are you going to lose your home?
No, I'm not. That's why I'm fighting.
How are you fighting it?
I'm fighting with a great group of people to end the unconstitutional tax foreclosure in Detroit. And we have a few demands for the city. And so either through, I don't know, keeping my home or receiving a home through the land bank, one way or the other, I'm going to stay in Detroit and I'm going to fight for that. So even if I move from this home to a home that's offered to me through the land bank, I'm not going to look at it as losing it.
Well, Sonia, the best of luck in that. That's Sonia Bonnet. She lives in Detroit, and she's trying to keep her home, even though she inherited $6,000 worth of tax debt. Thanks for talking with us.
Not a problem. You have a great day.
Now, you might hear about tax foreclosure crisis in Detroit and think, well, that's unfortunate, and then get on with your day. But the tax foreclosure crisis didn't just happen. It doesn't continue to happen by unfortunate circumstances. There are decisions behind it, and one group says those decisions are illegal.
According to the Michigan Constitution, no property should be assessed at more than 50% of its market value. It turns out the city government systematically inflated the property tax assessments of homes in Detroit beyond this legal limit. In fact, between 2009 and 2015, 55 to 85% of Detroit properties were unconstitutionally assessed each year. This led to illegally inflated taxes on those properties.
That is from a short animated video released by the Coalition to End Unconstitutional Tax Foreclosures. Joining us now is Bernadette Atuwahene. She's a visiting professor of law at Wayne State University. You wrote a guest blog for the ACLU Michigan, and you say your research shows as many as 85% of homes in Detroit might have been taxed at rates that violate the Michigan Constitution. How did you arrive at that estimate?
Yeah, so the Michigan Constitution says that no property is to be assessed at more than 50% of its market value. Other state constitutions, to the extent that they mention assessments at all, say things like uniform, fair, equal, which means it's up to the judge to determine legality. Since Michigan's constitution and its supporting legislation and case law make it explicit that no property is to be assessed at more than 50% of its market value, that means people like me can come in and run the numbers. And that's exactly with what my co-author and I did. And we ran the numbers from 2009 to 2015, and we found that in each of those years, anywhere between 55 and 85% of properties were being assessed in violation of the Michigan State Constitution.
So how did that happen?
We have no, again, I can only say what I have evidence for. We have no evidence of kind of a master plan or malintent. What we do have tremendous evidence of is a bureaucracy, i.e. the assessment division, was in complete disarray, totally underfunded, totally understaffed. They're legally supposed to go out and look at 30% of the properties every year. They had not done that in at least two decades. And so what was going on is they were basically adjusting taxes from the year before, and that's how they were doing their assessments. But what happens in the Great Recession of 2008, when property, if you look at the property values for Detroit, they plummet.
The bucket fell out.
Absolutely. And there was never an adjustment at that point. And so their system of just kind of assuming a slow increase in property values just fell apart. And we had this extreme illegality going on in terms of unconstitutional property tax assessments.
So even if you're right and the city is to blame for this tax foreclosure crisis because of ineptitude or not funding the division correctly or whatever the case may have been, I mean, what can be done about it? Those homes have been foreclosed upon. Many of them have been demolished at this point because of they quickly deteriorated or were scrapped. Is it too late? I mean, what's the point of talking about this now?
Right. So we have formed the Coalition to End Unconstitutional Tax Foreclosures, and there's several Detroit organizations that are part of the coalition, including, to name a few, CDAD, People's Platform, Michigan Legal Services, United Community Housing Coalition, We the People, et cetera. There's several organizations that have coalesced to do something, and we have three demands. Our first demand is to stop these unconstitutional property tax assessments. So you know that this past year, the city of Detroit actually finally, after over 50 years, did an actual assessment of the entire city. So for the first time, property taxes in Detroit are based on market values, which was what's supposed to have been happening all along.
I think a lot of homeowners would disagree that they're actual market values because I've been told again and again and shown the paperwork. They say my house was worth $34,000. It's actually worth about $14,000.
Well, we can disagree about what the market value is, but at least they are now generating property taxes based on a number that they think is even before the number was not even based on the market value. So again, market value is always a number that's contested. But the point I'm trying to get across is prior to that, they weren't even basing it on anything related to market value.
Right, so, no assessments at all.
Well, they were doing assessments, but not on market value.
Okay.
Our numbers show, so we reran our study after the this reassessment, and we found that even after the reassessment, homes worth $18,500 and under, over 90% of homes in this category are still being unconstitutionally assessed. So while a lot of the problem was fixed, the problem still has not been fixed for homes, the lowest value homes. And that goes to the kind of larger result of the study, which was of that 55 to 85% of homes that was being unconstitutionally assessed, when we broke the data up into five quintiles, from lowest value to highest valued homes, in quintile one and two, those with the lowest valued homes, we found that over 95% of those homes were being unconstitutionally assessed. And in quintile five, homes in the highest value category, those homes were actually being assessed under that 50%. 50% constitutional limit, which means that the burden of these unconstitutional assessments are really being borne by the homeowners with the lowest valued homes, who are ostensibly the poorest of the poor homeowners. So our first demand of the coalition is to stop these unconstitutional assessments for these poorest of the poor homeowners.
Okay, you said there are three. You had two more?
Second is, we are, just as you said, lots of people have already been subject to property tax foreclosure based on these unconstitutional assessments. So we're calling on the land bank. The land bank has from 32 to 33,000 vacant properties. And we're saying, let's make that available to people who were unconstitutionally assessed and foreclosed upon so that they can have a home. And we're also calling on MSHDA, the Michigan State Development Authority, to use the hardest hit funds that are now being used for demolitions. Let's repurpose that money from these corrupt demolitions. There's a federal investigation on the demolitions. Repurpose that money to helping people pay off some of these, again, these unconstitutional property taxes, and providing some kind of compensation to people who illegitimately lost their homes. So that's our second demand. And to that extent, we had a people's forum on June 17th. At Wayne State Law School, where we had seven breakout groups, over 100 Detroit residents who had been foreclosed upon in attendance, and they were there to create a restorative justice strategy and say what it is they want in compensation for being evicted based on unconstitutional assessments. And the third and final demand is to stop the impending foreclosure. So in the next month or so, the Wayne County Treasurer is going to foreclose upon lots of homes, and we're saying, let's stop. Don't foreclose on any owner-occupied homes. Take those out of the auction until we can confirm that none of these people, these delinquent tax owners, were being unconstitutionally assessed at any point. And so that's our third demand, is to put a halt on these owner-occupied homes going into foreclosure in the next month or so.
The county treasurer's office has consistently said, hey, look, our hands are tied. We have legislative required duties. We have to follow the law, and has avoided things like that. Here's the thing, though. We end up in past years, these home values overassessed, overtaxed. People lost their homes. People are still losing their homes. Many of those houses were bought by investors, or I'll call them speculators. The houses were left vacant. Scrappers came in, destroyed the home. Property values of the neighbors were hurt. So theoretically, they're not paying the same taxes because of the decreased value. The city has been getting these federal tax dollars you're talking about to tear down abandoned homes by the tens of thousands. Still, at that rate, not keeping up with the number of new foreclosures. This is a vicious cycle. It doesn't seem to have an end. Why isn't somebody actually doing something about this?
So first of all, Eric Sabree's claim that his hands are tied is incorrect. What is correct, so we've done a legal analysis, and what is correct is Eric Sabree does not have the power to erase any taxes owed. That has to come from legislation from Lansing. That is correct. But what he absolutely has the power to do is to put a moratorium on foreclosing on owner-occupied homes. That is absolutely within his power to do. And we are calling on Eric Sabree. The coalition is calling on Eric Sabree to do just that, to put a moratorium to not foreclose on any of the owner-occupied homes. As to why this is not happening, again, it's a lack of political will. But the two players who are most responsible or have the power to put a stop to this is Detroit's mayor and the Wayne County treasurer, Eric Sabree. So that's who we're calling upon. And we are actually having an action this Saturday, tomorrow, from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock at St. Matthew's St. Joseph's Episcopal Church, located at 8850 Woodward Avenue. We're having a press conference and community meeting to call on the mayor and Eric Sabree to step up, take action, and bring justice to this completely unjust situation of unconstitutional property tax assessments and illegitimate tax foreclosure.
So who's going to be speaking at this gathering you're talking about?
Sonia Bonnet, who you just heard from, will be speaking, but we also have several other speakers. One is named Joseph Bates. Joseph's family, the house that got foreclosed upon, he and his family had lived in that house since 1907. His great-grandfather was Henry Ford's chauffeur. His grandmother was a lifelong Detroit public school teacher, deep roots in Detroit. He didn't graduate from high school, but he has worked in grocery stores his entire life. His income is under $12,000 a year. He clearly qualifies for the poverty tax exemption. Nobody told him about it. And
That's a constant. I don't understand why people aren't made aware of that. I just don't understand how that happens.
And that's actually one of the demands of the coalition, is to make this poverty tax exemption more accessible and to actually provide retroactive relief for people who were foreclosed upon, who weren't even supposed to be paying these taxes in the first place. Let's give them their houses back, do some retroactive relief based on this poverty tax exemption. So, yeah, Joe lost his house, again, that his family had been in since 1907 to property taxes that he wasn't supposed to be paying in the first place because he qualified for the poverty tax exemption.
I want to step back just a little bit to get some perspective on this whole foreclosure crisis. Your blog and that video we mentioned indicated between 2011 and 2015, one in four properties in Detroit was subject to property tax foreclosure. How does that compare to other cities? How does that compare historically? Have we seen something like this before or anywhere else?
Absolutely not. It is completely the only other time in American history we have seen this number of property tax foreclosures is in the Great Depression. And there's just no other city foreclosing on this quantity. Again, like you said, in between 2011 and 2015, one in four properties in Detroit was subject to property tax foreclosure. That is astounding. And again, those numbers, last time we've seen that in American history is the Great Depression.
That's Bernadette Atuwahene, a researcher and visiting professor of law at Wayne State Law School. She's also a professor at the Illinois Institute of Technology's Chicago Kent College of Law. Thanks very much for coming in.
And if anyone wants more information, please go to illegalforeclosures.org. There you can see the video that was played on the show. You can hear more about our actions and get involved in this movement to stop these unconstitutional property tax assessments and these illegal foreclosures.